In 1957, Russia became the first country to send an unmanned satellite.
Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. Today, we'll be talking about the largest book club on the West Coast. One book, one coast. First time ever this is happening. And it's happening through June 6th in the states of Oregon, Washington, and California, and you can be part of it. Over 140 libraries across California, Oregon, and Washington are participating with events, discussions, and digital access via Libby Overdrive through June 6th. The first book is They Called Us Enemy by George Takei, a powerful graphic memoir about his childhood in Japanese-American incarceration camps. The book reflects on civil liberties, democracy, and what it means to be American, both historically and today. We're going to learn more about this One Book, One Coast book club and how you can be engaged from my guest today. We have Jennifer Redding of the Seaside Public Library. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hi, good morning, Donna. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for being here. We also have Suzanne Harold of the Astoria Public Library. Good morning, Suzanne.
Good morning.
And we are joined by Tita Montero. She is a City of Seaside counselor who is also the president of the Seaside Library Friends and Foundation. Good morning, Tita.
Good morning, Donna. Thank you for having us.
Well, I'm grateful to have you all. This is a marvelous thing that's happening. So before we talk about One Book, One Coast, let's learn a teeny bit about each of you for our listeners who may not be familiar with you. So Tita, why don't we start with you?
Yes, I've lived in Seaside for 24 years and been a city councilor for 16 of those, and I am also a former librarian. So I am obviously very interested in libraries, books, and everything we can do to support reading and the activities of our wonderful Seaside Public Library.
Thank you. Great. And Suzanne?
Yes. So I was born in Astoria and grew up on the coast. And then after college, lived in Portland for a number of years, worked at the Multnomah County Library. And then we moved back here in 2012, got hired at the library here in 2017, and then stepped into the role of director in 2022.
And you've just had this amazing renovation. We have to give you a minute to talk about that.
Yes. So thank you to the voters in Astoria for their overwhelming support of the bond measure. We were able to do a complete renovation. We've doubled the size of the library. We've added natural light, updated all of the systems, repaired the leaking roof. And there's now meeting rooms and expanded children's area, a teen room. It's been wonderful. Beautiful public art.
I was just there about a month ago, and it is, congratulations, it's terrific, absolutely terrific, so fortunate. And Jennifer, please tell us a bit about yourself.
I just celebrated my third year here in Seaside at the coast. I moved from Colorado most recently. I was in Colorado for about 28 years, and before that I was New York, New Jersey. I'm a Jersey girl. So I've been making my way to the correct coast my whole life, and really happy to be here. So yeah, celebrating my third work anniversary here on the 13th, and love being here in Seaside. One day I woke up and thought, you know, I want to live where I can walk on the beach every day. And I also have this, you know, wonderful team here at the Seaside Library. and just a wonderful community to be able to serve with the work we do here at the library.
Oh, good. Well, we're very fortunate to have all of you. Library was the focal point of my childhood in my small town. It was really important, and they still are very important. So we're going to talk about this incredible book club, One Book, One Coast. But before we do that, I would love to have each of you address a little bit about the role of libraries today, the challenges, the trends, why they're still so vital.
I'll jump in. Something I say pretty often is, the public library is the last place where you can, it's pretty much the only place where you can spend all day without buying something or believing in something. So we open up our doors, try to remove barriers for access. We try to meet people where they are also. So it's not just through having our doors open, but getting into the community through our outreach at first efforts and just connecting with the community where they are.
Well said.
Suzanne, I will add on to that. We're also a space for building community and having an open space where people can come and talk, maybe meet people that they wouldn't meet otherwise. We focus a lot on child development, especially that 0 to 3 pre-literacy skills, and offering a space for caregivers to bring their children to connect with each other and to give them those vital skills that'll set them up for success later in school. And then we support all the way through school, both more kind of traditionally books and reading, but also as a safe space with trusted adults that we know builds resiliency for kids who maybe have more challenges and more struggles, or they need that support.
Yes, vital. Tita.
And people think that libraries are dying, or they think libraries and books, and that's all they think about. But libraries are so much more. You can go to the library, you can listen to a book being read to you, you can read it on your Kindle, you can check out a book, you can use computers, you can attend programs. It is the most rounded kind of experience that you can have. And you can do this for fun, for pleasure, for learning, for research. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons behind it. There isn't anything that the library doesn't serve, really, when you get down to it.
Yes, and what I think about I don't know if you all have read Robin Wall Kimmerer's book, The Serviceberry, which is about a different kind of economic structure and the gifting sharing economy. And a sharing economy is exactly what the library offers. I can't recommend that book, The Serviceberry, highly enough, by the way. A different way to look at things, sharing economy. So the libraries are still vital and critical in the world. And this idea now of this One Book, One Coast, which is uniting and facilitating all kinds of events and discussions, all that. How did that come to be? Let's talk a little bit about that.
This is Jennifer. I'll jump in real quick and add. So last year here in Seaside, Beach Books and I got together and decided we wanted to pilot a community reading event in April. So we launched the One Book, One Seaside last year, and it was a wonderful success. And we were able to build some community around book discussions at various locations. And then this year, we were gearing up to start another One Book, One Seaside. And then we got the email from LA County Libraries saying that they were launching the largest multi-state community reading event. And did we want to be involved? And so that's how we got started with the One Book, One Coast.
That's amazing. It comes from LA, and then here we are, on the north coast of Oregon, and we're part of all that, and we're all connected for sure. I mean, we all know about the Everybody Reads, and but generally it's a small area. This is the first time something this this is kind of audacious, you know, a bold thing to do. So how does this look? So LA County got in touch with you and said, oh, we're going to do this one book, one coast thing. How would you describe it to people?
So it's being described as the largest library book club on the West Coast. There's over 140 libraries in our general area. Seaside, Astoria, and Cathlamet are all participating. And it's a chance for, over the course of 2 months, people all along the West Coast to read George Takei's graphic memoir of his time as a child in the incarceration camps during World War II. And then every library is committed to doing at least a few events. So at the Astoria Library last week, we made bird pins similar to the ones that that people who were in the incarceration camps would make as a symbol of resilience in the face of this difficult situation, and later sold them. So we did our own version to honor that and learn about that. We've got a pop-up book club coming on the 26th, and then I'll let Tita talk about their author viewing party, but we're also doing one on June 3rd. So, and we have multiple copies of the books at the libraries. And then if you read online and use the Libby app with your library card, there are unlimited copies through the end of May. So no, easy to get your hands on a copy.
I'll let Jennifer talk about what they're doing in Seaside.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Jennifer. We had a couple of book discussions in April. Again, we focused on April as our community reading month, even though it's running for 2 months this year. So we had a book talk here at the library, and then we had a family craft night and book talk. So we have a student who's working on her Pacifica project, which is a local high school community service requirement. And she led us in making paper flowers. So we made origami flowers, which was one of the programming ideas that was created by the One Book, One Coast planners. So without access to fresh flowers, incarcerees brightened their surroundings by creating bouquets from crepe paper, magazines, newspapers, tissue paper, and pretty much whatever materials they had available to them while they were in the camps. So we had an opportunity to sit and craft and talk about the book and talk about the impact of this story on us individually, but also as a community.
So there have already been some events because this started in April. However, it is not too late. There are many things still to happen. You can still read the book. You can still listen to the book. Again, everything is happening until June 6th. So let's talk about the author and a live stream with him.
The live stream is going to be held on May 31st, which is a Sunday. And the Seaside Library Friends and Foundation, our involvement has been that both last year and this year, we purchased books for distribution so people could pick up the book for free and have their own book, or they could check it out of the library or through Libby and the other ways that are told. But on May 31st, what we are doing is we are hosting that live stream. We're going to have refreshments. The doors to the library will open around 1:30. And we're hooking on to it our annual membership meeting. So we are using that not only to support the library and support the event, but also to help people understand how they can support the library through the Seaside Library Friends and Foundation. So we're going to have a little membership meeting. We're recruiting members. We're going to let them know about our bookstore in the library, because there are two ways that we support Seaside Public Library. One is through membership, and one is through the bookstore that is located right in the library. Last year, we pay for the programming in the library, summer reading program, many of the musical, the authors' reads, etc. and also the movie program that's in the library. And so the ways that we have money to support the library is through memberships or through selling books. So the people donate books, we sell them, the money goes back to the library. It's one nice big circle of love, I'm going to say. Love of books.
And what did you all think when you heard that this was the book? Did you feel like, oh, who chose this? This is timely. It seems very timely.
It's exceptionally timely. Oh.
No, go ahead, Suzanne.
Okay. The book came out a number of years ago, and I remember reading it when it first came out, but it's definitely more relevant now with questions of immigration and status as an American and removing people from where they live and what it means to be a patriotic American, and the effects that this kind of turmoil has on a child in their upbringing. There's a lot of connections and threads to the current situation. I thought it was a powerful and an engaging choice, and a great, if you haven't read a graphic novel before, it's the comic book style of novels. If you are nervous of that format, it's a good introduction to that format. It's more accessible than some.
Well, so good, in a thank way you for explaining that about graphic, because people think of that in a different way. So when you're saying it's a graphic novel, it's because of the illustrations.
Yes. So if you think of comic strips or comic books, it's told in both pictures and text.
Right. And in my mind, this is a really great way of looking backwards and looking forwards, because this introduces a new format to many people. And those of us who are older, we probably read comic books, but don't even think about graphic novels. So it's a new way to introduce a new kind of reading experience.
Yeah,
oh, that's great.
I'll jump in. I was actually just up at Susanna Lease, one of our assisted living facilities here. We have a WOW program, Words on Wheels. So we were bringing books to the participants, but we also we have a monthly book chat. And just this past week, we got together and I was talking about the book that we had chosen. And again, here are folks who are later on in their lives, maybe they have some, you know, macular degeneration. It's kind of hard to read something like a graphic novel, or maybe they've never read a graphic novel. But once we got talking about the story, I actually was able to entice one of the attendees to just take my copy and read it, because she was here in Seaside during World War II, and she remembered that there was a Japanese family here in town, and then one day they were gone. And so it was a really engaging conversation with folks being able to bring it back to our local community, and not just what's happening in the rest of the world, too.
Exactly. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Talk of Our Towns. I'm your host, Donna Quinn. And today we're talking about the largest book club on the West Coast. This is the first time this has been attempted, correct? It's one book, one coast, and it's happening with the participation of over 140 libraries in the states of California, Oregon, and Washington. Today, my guests are Suzanne Harold of the Astoria Public Library, Jennifer Redding of the Seaside Public Library, and Tita Montero, who is the president of the Seaside Library Friends and Foundation. And the book is They Called Us Enemy by George Takei. And while there have been some events already happening, there are lots of events happening now. So how would you advise people to be involved and engaged in this?
Can I start? So Astoria is doing its events in May. So we still have two events coming up. So get a copy of it now, and you've got a good couple of weeks to read it. It's a fairly quick read. And then on Tuesday, May 26th, join me at 5:30 p.m. and we'll have a conversation about the book and connections with it. And then on June 3rd, if you're not able to make the live stream on May 31st, we'll be showing the author talk with George Takei at 5:30 on June 3rd in our flag room, if you're not able to make the other one. And then the other thing I wanted to say, if you go onto our shared catalog that we have with Seaside and Warrenton Libraries, we call it a stream, but there's books that will go past you on the screen. as like reading suggestions. And right now they are all books that have something to do with the Japanese American experience. So you can expand your reading beyond this book into other books, either about World War II or about identity more broadly.
Mm, good for the brain, good for the heart. And Jennifer, anything you would suggest for folks who want to be involved and maybe some people don't know about Libby Overdrive. Should we talk about that?
Yeah, I can talk a little bit about that. One of the opportunities that we were given is they negotiated with Overdrive, Libby, which is the online platform for accessing eBooks and e-audiobooks. And it was negotiated that unlimited copies, essentially, the way eBooks work is you actually purchase one digital copy. So one person can have one copy at a time. And the opportunity that they were able to explore was an unlimited access to electronic copies of the book, both in English and in Spanish, so through the Libby app. And then in terms of, so we had our programs back in April, and I would encourage folks, you know, pick up the book, maybe have your own little book club, you know, get a couple of people together, maybe reach out to a neighbor and say, hey, have you heard about this book? And I have a copy of it if you'd like to take a look, and just sort of have that opportunity to potentially connect with community members that you haven't otherwise had an opportunity to chat with. So it doesn't necessarily even have to be a library program. It could just be get some folks together and grab a cup of coffee or a frosty beverage and talk about the book.
Yes, and it sounds like this is going to happen again. I love what I read online, which was through this shared reading experience, communities are encouraged to explore themes of identity, patriotism, family, loyalty, and resilience while strengthening connections through dialogue and learning. We just need to be together in person. We can't do it all online. We just can't.
Right. And of course, the final event for the City of Seaside, the library, is on May 31st, 1:30 at the library. The live stream, and come and join Seaside Library Friends and Foundation, have some refreshments. We're going to have giveaways as well. And so it's a good time for community, for fun, for learning. I mean, how better to use the library?
So what are the, we have a few minutes left here, but what are the unique challenges that you all are dealing with in terms of membership, or because people need, I guess, to realize that membership really helps support the libraries for getting funding. And so this space is open to everyone. So what would you say are maybe the unique challenges today of the libraries as a whole? And then you all as individuals.
This is Jennifer. I'll add, I think, you know, before COVID, I'll use the word, before COVID, when COVID hit, people got out of the habit of having us in their rotation. And, you know, while our numbers in terms of door count and checkouts and library card applications continue to grow each year, which is really encouraging. I think folks just, you know, for those times that we weren't able to get out and about, we just got out of the habit of coming to the library and using the space that is available to them without barriers. So I'm hopeful that folks will continue to find reasons to just pop in. I'll say, you know, we get a lot of storms here at the coast, and we have a generator. So if your power is out at your house, come on over to the library and with all of your devices, and you can charge them up, and we might even have some hot tea served, and take advantage of a warm space and electricity.
Very good idea. So we only have a couple minutes left. I would like to have each of you just have a minute here. So any last thing you'd like to tell us, Suzanne?
Yes, I would love to share that we are doing a lot here at the Astoria Public Library. We're finally gearing back up after all of the renovation and COVID and everything up. So we've got lots of programs. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram, and you can go onto our website. There's a calendar on the side, and that lists all of the activities that are happening for families and children and adults. And then brand new, we have a bookshop that our friends run every Saturday from 10:30 to 2:30. So come and check that out if you want to add to your home library.
Oh, thank you, Suzanne. Thank you so much. Tita?
Well, you know, libraries are, as we said, the last free bastion. And while our libraries are part of the city, they still need our support in terms of programming and all of the extras that that we provide. And that's why we've got Seaside Library Friends and Foundation. And the way we do that is through our advocacy and our volunteerism. We're always looking for members. We would love for people to volunteer. We've got volunteer positions for our bookstore, for our board, and people providing, and the books that are in our bookstore are well priced, and they, again, buying a book is just another way to support yourself and support the library. So supporting the library.
Absolutely. And Jennifer, 1 minute we have.
Well, as I say at all my morning chamber meetings and Downtown Development Association meetings, seasidelibrary.org for all your up-to-date library information. Follow us on Facebook. We put all of our programs up there. It's a really active space. And yeah, I'm excited that we are able to provide this amazing service to the coastal community.
Yes, indeed.
There on the tab there, you can also go to Seaside Library Friends and Foundation, and where there are membership forms, and join us.
And make sure you look at you go into the newly renovated Astoria Library. Oh, yeah. It's pretty amazing. We're so lucky to have both of these facilities. You know, again, the gifting sharing economy open to everyone. So thank you all so much for all that you do. And for those of you listening, check out One Book, One Coast. Go to the library, get a copy, listen to it, and be part of this engaging discussion. Good for the brain cells, good for the heart, good for everything. Thank you so much for listening to Talk of Our Towns. Thank you, Viri, our engineer extraordinaire, and my gratitude to local talented banjo instructor Michael Bruin for his original theme music for this program, which airs the first Thursday of each month at 9 a.m. So let's take a moment while we can, we're all together here, to take a very deep healing breath together. To our bodies that all is well, we can relax. And then focus on the things that are working well in your life. There will always be things that aren't. Focus on those that are working well with gratitude. And then give yourself a loving and compassionate hug or a pat on the back for being uniquely you. You are, for doing the best you can. We do that until we know better. And for being here, right now, in this moment, the only moment that exists, the now moment, on the amazing planet we call Earth.